Watch that line there. Okay, watch that wire. Good job. All right, folks, thank you very much. Good. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Find that scripture in your book. Deuteronomy chapter 22. We're going to look at one verse. I'll give you just a brief interpretation, which is very, very simple, very clear and plain. And then I'll make an application for us tonight that I hope will be a help for you and all of us at home. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you are able to stand, let's do that. If you're able to stand, Deuteronomy 22. And I'm going to read verse number 8 here, all right? So follow along in Deuteronomy 22, verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. And so I just want to simply preach tonight on building battlements for your home. Building battlements for your home. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in your house. I pray that you'll bless your word as it goes forth. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. Help us to learn tonight and be challenged in this very important area concerning our home, our children, our family, and our well-being spiritually. We need this. So God, help us with it tonight, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, give us great liberty in the service, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now, God had instructions for his people prior to their entering the promised land. And that's a lot of what Deuteronomy is about. All the instructions he gave them through his servant Moses were for their good and their profit, their gain, actually both materially and spiritually, okay, in both ways. Now, verse number 8, very, very simple verse. They were given instructions concerning the houses they would build once settled on the land. Many of them would build new houses. And it kind of reads as if those houses would consist of two stories. And God told them to build a battlement. That's the word in verse number 8. A battlement for their roof. Now, what was a battlement? A battlement was a partial wall that would protect those who might be walking on the roof from falling off, being injured, or worse, getting killed. All right? So it was very common for them to access their roofs. Not so much you and I in this day and age, but very common for them to access their roofs, and like David did and others, you know. And so this is what it was for. If you can think of a fort in the days of the U.S. cavalry, and the small wall or parapet that they would kneel behind to protect themselves from the shots of the enemy. And so in today's lawsuit-happy world, you know, tourist attractions, places of interest, they have to go to great lengths to protect tourists from getting too close to the edge of a drop-off. I remember as a boy going to Stone Mountain. Stone Mountain, Georgia, been a tourist attraction for years, all of my growing up years. That big piece of granite down there, the largest exposed piece of granite in North America, maybe the world. I forget exactly what it is. But we would go there often as kids, elementary class, school trip, field trips and stuff like that. And I remember sometime later when I was out in Iowa and took my kids there to visit one time when we were down in Atlanta, and I was shocked to see fences up there. And it was the first time in all my trips to Stone Mountain that I'd ever seen a fence on the top of that mountain. And that was there because it was supposed to keep people from getting too close to the edge and falling off. And, you know, then it's Stone Mountain's fault, not theirs. You know, and so they're lawsuit happy. And it's kind of like what the battlement was. The battlement was for their own physical protection and their kids' protection, and to decrease their liability in the case of a guest falling off of their roof to their death. It was interesting. I don't often see what Spurgeon says about a verse, but I did about this one. And Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, "Care." I thought this was interesting. "Care of life is a duty. Hence, cleanliness in person and abode is to be carefully maintained, and we must not expose ourselves or others to needless risks." That's not at all spiritual. That's talking about physical. That's talking about taking care of your house and your things in order to keep yourself and others from harm. I remember one day when I was trying, I don't remember the reason for my call, and it wasn't a FaceTime call. It was a landline call that I made to Madagascar, and Ashley answered, and I could tell that she was extremely distracted. She was calm, but she was tense. God gave Ben the exact wife he needed. He bounces off the wall. He's wound tighter than a drum, and Ashley is just, I mean, just calm can be. It's a perfect match, really is. But I could tell she was tense, and she was distracted at the phone call, and I was trying to talk with her about something, and she said, "Well," I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I don't know where Ben is. I'm trying to find Ben. Nellie just fell off the balcony." I said, "What?" She said, "Nellie just fell off the balcony." So they have a second-story house, two-story house, and they had a little balcony outside the bedrooms, and that's for cool purposes because, you know, in the heat, they don't have air conditioning and that kind of thing. And so they would go out in the balcony to cool off, but there was no fence, there was no battlement, there was no parapet, there was no half wall. And she's goofing around. Nellie's about like her dad. She wound up tighter than a drum, and poof, she falls off. What is that, 8 feet? 10 feet, she falls down to the grass. Thank God it was on the grass, and she wasn't injured. She wasn't hurt. And they had her checked out by a doctor. But that's what the battlement was for. The battlement was for people's protection if folks went up on the roof to keep them from falling off. Now, that's the simple interpretation of chapter 22 and verse number 8. And God meant it for His people's good. Now, this is what I want to make application for when it comes to the protection of our own families. You know, as a dad and mom, as parents, and with our kids, we, none of us, want to fall out of the way of living for God. I used the illustration this morning of talking to a man recently and how's things going. And he talked about his child, his adult child. I told the story and how he was just grieved. He said, "You know, they're doing great financially, but they're doing terrible spiritually." And it grieved him. And none of us want that to happen. And that was said by grief. That dad said that with grief, and he didn't. And he felt bad for his child. And we don't want to fall out of the way. As parents, we don't want our children to fall out of the way. The word standard has become a pariah to those who classify themselves as recovering fundamentalists. I think that's the silliest, most victimized attitude. No one should be upset with the word standard. A standard, folks, is designed to protect. It is designed to guard, now listen, a person's conviction. So think of it this way. A conviction is like the house. And a standard is like the battlement designed to protect and guard someone from falling away from the conviction. We have convictions, hopefully, that are based on the plain teaching of God's Word. And we have a conviction about that. And the wise person builds some battlements, some standards around that conviction to keep themselves from falling away from that conviction. If the conviction is based on the Bible, why would it ever change? Doesn't matter what the culture does. If it's based on God's Word, it should be unchanging. And so I don't want to move away from this conviction. So I'm going to build me some battlements. I'm going to set some standards, some parapets, and put these things in place to keep me close to my conviction that's based on the plain Word of God. Now, every set of parents in this room needs to have the conviction that first and foremost, our children or child belongs to the Lord. and they're to be reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I hope that's your conviction. I hope that's not just a passing whim that you give no thought to between husband and wife. It ought to be thought about often, especially when your kids are still at home. It ought to be thought about often. And if that is your sincere conviction, then you're going to build some battlements into your family so that yourself and the kids won't fall out of the way of living for God. You're going to put some standards in place to help you maintain that conviction. And I want to give you a battlement that should be built at your home to protect you and your children from falling away for living for God's sake. And that battlement is spiritual music. Spiritual music. Spiritual music. That's what that battlement is. Now, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to use the Bible a little bit tonight. A couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 3. I'm talking about building a battlement at your home of spiritual music that will help both you and your children stay with the convictions that you have from God's Word. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and look with me at verse number 16. So Paul writes the church at Colossae. These are familiar verses to you. And he says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Let the word of God fill you. Let it dwell in you richly. And the result of that will be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, look back at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn back there with me a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read about the results of something else. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Again, very familiar verses. You know what I'm going to read here. Verse 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So here it is now. Being filled with the Spirit results with singing and making melody with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Folks, being filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God creates the same results in our lives. That makes complete sense to me because the Spirit of God works in tandem with the Word of God. The Spirit of God never works in opposition to the Word of God. Never. Doesn't happen. The Spirit of God and the Word of God work in tandem. And you see that from the very beginning of time as we know it in the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. In chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said," as words, "let there be light, and there was light." What do you have? You have God's Spirit and God's Word working in tandem with each other, bringing about God's creation. Now, if you notice, the first result of being filled with the Word of God and the first result of being filled with the Spirit of God that's mentioned in these two passages concerns music. Music is one of the great gifts of God to mankind. Great gifts of God to mankind. We know that one of the lead angels in God's angelic creation was Lucifer. We know that from the Scripture. Lucifer was created with wonderful brightness, and he was created with musical ability. In Ezekiel 28, verse 13, "The workmanship of thy tabrets," that's a musical instrument, "and of thy pipes," a musical instrument, "was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." From the very beginning, Lucifer was created a musical being. Now, I've said this before. I believe Lucifer led in the anthems of praise to God in the heavens. I believe that. The Bible speaks of the time when the angels sang together at the creation of the world in Job chapter 38 and verse number 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a reference to the angelic creation. They sang together and they shouted for joy. The sad truth is, folks, that when Lucifer sinned against God and fell from his created position, music fell with him. Music fell with him. And now, there's not only spiritual music, there's fleshly music. The world has music, but it is fallen music. It's fallen. It's music that is not found in the type of music that's both biblically correct and spirit-filled. Fallen music will not protect me, you, or any of our kids from falling away from living for God. Fallen music never helps. It only hurts. And a child of God who is filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God will not be comfortable listening to fallen music. Won't happen. A child of God who's filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God will listen to a new song. Now, where does that term come from? We know it's the book of Psalms, right? Here's something interesting. Did you know that the word new is used 7 times in the book of Psalms? It's used 7 times. 6 of the 7 times that the word new is used, it's about a song. 6 of the 7 times. Only 1 time in the entire book of Psalms is the word new used about something other than a song. Psalm 33:3, sing unto him a new song. 43, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. 96:1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. 98:1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. 144 verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee. 149 verse number 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now you tell me, why would God use the word new 6 out of 7 times in the book of Psalms about music? I'll tell you why. Because the world has fallen music, and when God brings somebody out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, sets their feet on a rock, and establishes their going, he also puts a new song in their mouth. And all is together in Psalm chapter 40. Every bit of it is all together there. The type of music that is the result of being filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God is exactly the same. It is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's identical between Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Now, psalms, that's more than likely a reference to the book of Psalms, the song book of the Bible. The songs of the book of Psalms, they give praise to the nature and the character and the attributes of God. And we have hymns that could probably be classified as that type of song. A song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It talks about the nature and character of God. The Israelites sang the songs of the book of Psalms on their journey to the tabernacle and to the temple. And they were going to worship God. And along the way, they would sing the psalms. Music. If you read both instrumental and vocal, was an integral part of the worship at the temple. I mean, there were people whose full-time duty was to either play or sing music at the temple. It was their full-time responsibility. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah, I've been reading my Bible chronologically this year for my devotions. And so that means I'm coming now to the last books of the Old Testament. In just a few days, I'll be starting in the New Testament. And so, chronologically, I'm in the books of Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. I'm reading those books. And in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you understand, they were written about the reestablishment of the Jews into Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity, right? They go back to Jerusalem now. The word singers is used 20 times in Ezra and Nehemiah. 20 times. So they're going back to establish the ceremonies, the offerings, the sacrifices that have been missing from Jerusalem for 70 years. And over and over and over, singers, singers, singers. That's why it really aggravates me to see people take such a attitude towards singing in church. Brother, that's for the purpose of honoring God, worshiping God. If that's how little you think of your God, I feel sorry for you. If it's boring and all that, I don't know what to do for you. I'm telling you, singers, 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 singers. Nehemiah 12:46. The Bible says, here's why. Here's why they're reestablishing the singers. Nehemiah said, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, before the captivity, before the 70-year captivity, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Nehemiah said, folks, we're back here to reestablish the worship of God, to reestablish all we do in this wonderful place called the temple. We've been gone from here for 70 years. And you know what? We're going back to what they used to do in the days of old. There's nothing wrong, folks, about looking back to the days of old and learning from the days of old. He said, we're going back to the days of old when David and Asaph were alive and they were chief of the singers. That's over 70 years ago now. In fact, more than 70. Because not only you've been through Solomon and you've been through Rehoboam and the dividing of the kingdom and the succession of all those kings and then 70 years. How many years is Nehemiah going back to? Over 100. 100 years. Manasseh reigned for 55 years. I should have added that up. I'm just thinking about that right now. We're not talking about a couple years ago. We're talking, Nehemiah is looking back to over 100 years ago when things were really happening in Jerusalem. When things were on. And I mean, brother, they were worshiping God. And Nehemiah said they had singers and they had people there, chief of the singers, songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And if a Christian today is filled with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God, they will love to sing about the nature and the attributes and the characteristics of Almighty God. Now, hymns. Hymns are songs of testimony. Usually about salvation, Christian living. The important thing is that the music we listen to, whether at church or at home, is spiritual as opposed to carnal, as opposed to fleshly, as opposed to sensual. That's fallen music. That's fallen music. It is music that is biblically incorrect and not spirit-filled. So to my point tonight, of building a battlement that will help us with our conviction concerning us living for the Lord, not falling all away from that. Spiritual music is a necessity. It is not an option. It's not a secondary matter. It is a must-have, primary part of protecting our kids, our homes, from worldly influence that will make it much easier for them to fall away from living for God. Much, much easier. It is not option. Contemporary Christian music, for the greater part, is not spiritual. You might be able to find some biblically correct, spirit-filled songs in the contemporary genre, but they are a few and far between. It's like dumpster diving. You got to dig through a lot of trash to find one piece of treasure. Well, I finally found this. How much trash did you have to dig through to find one song? That's pathetic. And folks, look, people don't kid me. There are members here who struggle with identifying as fundamental Baptists. Some struggle with strong preaching. Some with biblical dress. Some with absolutes. Others with personal witnessing. I don't live in the homes, but my guess would be in most cases, the music listened to is fallen music. Because contemporary music accompanies. It goes hand in hand with contemporary Christianity. Hand in hand. Hand in hand. Let me ask you this. Why would God, when speaking about music, both in Ephesians and Colossians, why would he use the word spiritual? Make sure your music is spiritual. Why would he use the word spiritual? Because there's music that's not spiritual. And that means it is carnal. And that means it is fleshly. And that means it's sensual in nature. And it may move your emotions. It may make your flesh even want to move. But it does not build your spirit. It feels good. It feels good. Most contemporary Christian music could be rightly classified as soft rock and some as hard rock. Listen, many of you young adults especially, and that's I think that's the group that got the greatest pressure that's in Satan's crosshairs, the young adults of a church, because the young adults represent the future of the church. And I think a lot of you young adults, you were raised in homes where rock music was banned. I say amen, glory to God, that's great. But now you don't have parental restrictions on your music, and you listen to songs that are as rock music in classification as any that I used to listen to when I was lost. The only difference is they have Christian words. And somehow Christian words reclassify those songs as something besides rock music. I don't get it. You know what? You have come to the party too late. You don't know what you're listening to. In your music, the beat, the syncopation, and rhythm are the same as soft or hard rock songs of the 60s and 70s. And when I was lost, I knew Christian rock music was a joke. Brother Ken Graham was one of the speakers at the conference this week. And he was telling a story. And I had told you this story before. Ken, Brother Graham and I are the same age. He just turned 65, I think, 3 weeks ago. He graduated from high school in 1975, just like I did. We both went to public schools. I was in Georgia. He was in Arkansas. He was saved. I was lost. He said they had an assembly at his school, in public school. When they had an assembly, everybody went to the gymnasium. That's where we did. We didn't have an auditorium. We just had a gymnasium. And so they had an assembly. And we all went. He said that's what they all went to this assembly. And of course he was a good Christian in his public school. And of course his last name was Graham because he was Christian. And all the people there, the boys there called him Billy. Billy Graham, right? Okay. So they called him Billy. And so they sat there, and here came this hippie looking, 60s looking, 70s looking rock band. And they played probably 10 or 12 rock songs. I mean, literal rock songs. Rock songs that were popular in that day. And then the last song they played was the same beat, the same rhythm, the same syncopation. It just had words about God and Jesus. And then, if you'd like to be saved and go to heaven, come on down here. And we'll lead you into prayer. And Brother Graham said that after the thing was over, they were dismissed. People got around him and said, hey, Billy, that's not right, is it? That's not right, is it? And the same thing happened in my high school. They had a big assembly and they brought in a hippie-looking rock and roll band. I mean, the full thing. Electric guitars and bass guitars and drums and the whole nine yards. And all the hippie look to them. And they, I mean, this is sad, but I can still remember they played Smoke on the Water. Smoke on the Water. I mean, I'm sorry that I still remember that, but they played all these rock and roll songs that we're listening to in our vehicles and in our rooms. And then they have a song at the very end. They change it. It's the same beat, the same syncopation, the same rhythm, and it's got words about Jesus in there, and it's the same thing. Come on, I sat in my seat. I'm a church-going lost boy. And in my heart, I scoffed. This is ridiculous. And it was. And it still is. And it makes no sense. Let me show you something tonight. I got a few pictures for you tonight. Brother Andrew, go ahead and throw slide number one up there. Now, look. Okay, stop it just for a second. I'm sorry. Can you stop it, brother? Start it over in a second here. All right, so. It's 15 seconds of two concerts. Now one is Christian and one's rock. You figure it out. All right? First one. Here we go. Turn the lights down, fellas, and we'll show videos, Brother Tom. Okay, that's one concert. Number two. One of those is a rock concert. The other's a rock concert, too, with a Christian tag. Which is which? Anybody want to take a guess? Prayer does. Okay. That is the Christian concert. The second one's the Christian concert. The first one is the rocked out rock concert. Big difference, right? Real light for Christ. Real spiritual, convicting, life-changing messages and songs. Did you see any difference in those folks? The same. Identical. You know why? It's identical music. It's identical syncopation. It's identical beat. It's identical rhythm. And that's what it produced. It's fleshly. It's carnal. It's sensual. It feeds the flesh. Does nothing for the spirit. Does nothing for the spirit. What's the next slide, Brother Andrew? Okay, here we got a couple of musicians. One is lost and one is saved. Can you guess which one is lost and which one is saved? Now, some of you old-time rock and rollers, you're telling on yourself right now. All right, throw their names up here. That's Alice Cooper and that's Brian Welch. Brian Welch, look him up. He is a dedicated, born-again, contemporary Christian artist. And this is some of y'all's problem. You don't like it when a preacher stands up and makes confrontational statements about contemporary Christianity. You don't like it. Inside, you twist and turn. I don't know what your problem is. You think that's God honoring, friend? You got a screw loose somewhere. You got a screw loose. All right, what's our next one? Now, here we go. One of these two ladies is a secular artist. One is a Christian artist. Okay, and I didn't play the music here because it's too obvious. Go ahead. By the way, I want you to check out this dude on the right. I don't know. Now, one of those is secular, one of those is Christian. You want to take a stab at it? That was Karen Carpenter. Here we go. You got the pictures there, Brother Andrew. Throw it up there if you would. That's Karen Carpenter. And that's one of the most popular contemporary Christian singers of this day. It ain't a lick of difference. That's why some people in independent Baptist churches do not like strong preaching. It's why some do not like biblical dress standards. It's why some do not like absolutes of Christian living. We don't do this and we do this. Because I'll tell you what, that's the kind of musical influence going on in your car and in your house, and it's sensual and carnal and fleshly in nature and does nothing to build your relationship with God. That's it. Thank you. Do you know why people listen to fallen, fleshly, sensual music and sit and frost during a message like this? They didn't want to give it a fair hearing because you like it. You like It's fleshly. It's sensual. It's carnal. And you don't want to give it up. Because you like it. And you choose what you want over what God approves. And I'll go a step further. You probably have a distant relationship with your Bible, and you probably almost never pray for God's Spirit to control you. If you're honest. If you're honest. I mean, dead honest. Pastor, you're right. That's the kind of music that I listen to. I do because I like it. And the truth is, I don't have a very close relationship with my Bible. And I don't remember the last time I ever yielded myself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's truth, folks. If I have a close relationship with God's Word, and I'm concerned about yielding to the control of God's Spirit, you know what's going to happen to my music? It's going to be biblically correct and Spirit-filled. And I will say again, the Spirit of God will not lead me or anyone else contrary to the Word of God. Won't happen. Cannot happen. You know, I hear the objections. I hear statements like psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are so boring and they don't move my heart. Then there must be a problem with your heart. Because there's a bunch of songs in that old songbook right there that, man, move my heart. Wow. Brother Green preached on, that's the reason I didn't come back on Wednesday night for the service here. The only service that evangelist Tim Green preached was Wednesday night. He was in a question and answer session and he taught, but he didn't preach till Wednesday night. It was the only service they gave him to preach. And he's older than me. He's 73, 74. And I just thought, you know, out of respect for him, I'm going to stay and listen to this man preach. He brought a great message. I'll keep on rowing. And the invitation got on, and Brother Green asked if they could sing Calvary Covers It All. That's a spiritual song. Man, that place got blessed. I mean blessed. Nobody was doing this. But people were doing this, singing, Calvary covers it all. We get done with the song, Pastor Kavanaugh comes to the pulpit. Man, I'm just standing out there in the congregation. Brother Angel, what do you want to sing? Smoke on the Water. No, I'm just... Brother Angel, what do you want to sing? I mean, caught me completely. I said, what do I want to sing? He said, yes, sir. What do you want to sing? I said, oh, my goodness. Like a River Glorious. And that congregation started singing Like a River Glorious. Got to that chorus. Stayed upon Jehovah. There were guys shouting. Amen. Glory. Sounds like they were kind of moved a little bit. Not like this. But like this, I'm serious as a heart attack, folks. I heard other objections. It's so hard to find music that's spiritual. It has never been easier to find music that is spiritual. Never. Internet radio stations aplenty are available. And possibly, you know, someday we may have one here if God opens the door and it's supposed to be moving that direction. Not everything you hear on Brother Araiza's station or Brother Castle's station or Brother Woodward's station or Brother Russ's station will be what is enjoyable to you. It may not be your choice of music. Those stations play a broad range of spiritual music of different types. But even the ones you don't care for just because of your like and dislike, they're at least biblically correct and Spirit-filled. I'm going to tell you, I am disappointed. I can't listen to this FM station over here. I'm disappointed in the Pensacola station. I mean, it's more contemporary than has ever been on there. And that makes me suspicious about what's happening at the school. I was listening to it the other day. I used to love to listen to whatever the thing is. They call the station numbers. I got it plugged in my, it's number 6 on my dash. I listened to it coming into church every Sunday morning. And man, more and more and more, I'm hearing all these contemporary songs. I'm just going, what is going on? You know, look, be careful of your music. Be careful of your music. Some years ago, a lady here was counseling with another lady about just some, you know, just some ideas, advice about rearing kids. And I think they had teenagers and, you know, maybe there was a little bit of a conflict. I don't know all the details, but I do know this. Contemporary music came up and the one advisor said to the one being advised, well, that's not a fight that we've chosen to fight. When I heard that, I thought, and that's not advice that should be given. That's a fight you better have. That's a fight you better have in your house. It's a fight you better have with yourself. If you're giving yourself. People who are filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God have a song in their heart that is biblically correct and Spirit-filled. And how are you going to argue with that? That's God's book. That is as plain as the nose on our face. Spiritual music is a battlement that protects us, parents, our kids, from falling away from the path of living for the Lord. It's a battlement. Spiritual music. The two areas that people beef about when it comes to being a biblical independent Baptist are music and dress. That's always produced the most complaints. And when people leave the independent Baptist position, it's usually over music and dress or dress and music. It varies as to which one is deserted first, but usually that change is made hand in hand. If the music goes, the dress goes. If the dress goes, the music goes. And I think personally that the music goes before the dress does, but it's about that different. About that different. It's not spiritual. If you don't want to leave the path of living for God, build a battlement of spiritual music in your home. And it's readily accessible and readily available. And you can have it playing all the time. Music that is biblically correct. Music that is Spirit-filled. Music that is defined for us in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. If I'm filled with the Word of God and I'm filled with the Spirit of God, then my music is going to consist of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Songs that draw me closer to God. Songs that praise His nature, His characteristics, His attributes. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. I'm talking about songs that help. Not songs that... You know what? Contemporary music is like having a roof with no battlement. It'll fall off the edge. So I'd guard my music. I'd guard it carefully. And if you slipped in that direction, and by the way, it's very easy to do. Very easy to do. If you slipped in that direction, rather than stew and get mad and fuss, I would say, you know what? Thank God for biblical truth. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to get my music straightened out so I don't fall off the edge of the roof and injure myself or maybe one of my kids fall off and injure themselves. Spiritual music. Spiritual music. Spiritual music in your home. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll take your word tonight. Take it, and Lord, divide our spirit and soul asunder. Your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It points out the truth, it cuts us a little bit, if necessary, but it helps us. It builds us. And I pray tonight, oh God, I pray for receptive hearts. I pray for listening ears. I pray for tenderness. I pray, God, for a response that is spiritual, that is Holy Ghost led. Not built on what we like, but built on what is biblically correct and spirit-filled. God, do a work in the hearts of some people. Maybe in this room tonight, Lord, I wish some other folks were here. Wish everybody could hear it. Lord, that we would be correct and right in the music that we play in our home and our vehicle. We build our family life around. May it be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Biblically correct and spirit-filled. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking, Pastor. I appreciate the strong message. I appreciate the biblical approach. And I need some help in this area before God. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to be intimidated by my pride. I need some help in this area. And by God's grace, I want to get it fixed. If that's you, can I see your hand tonight, wherever you may be sitting? I see it. God bless you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's easy to do, folks. And I'm not being ugly tonight. I'm trying to salvage you and your home. And here's what needs to happen. Look. It does not matter what anybody in this room thinks about anybody else when it comes to a trip to the altar. If God mashes your heart, this is the place to be, to kneel and say, God, I need your help. And even if you don't have a problem with it, just, God, I want to strengthen the battlement of spiritual music. Strengthen it so I don't fall off the edge away from my conviction about living for you. If you're not saved tonight, you can visit the altar and somebody will talk to you about salvation or get baptized. But the thrust of the message tonight is our music, spiritual. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist begins the song of invitation. And I ask you, obey the Lord tonight. Don't let what people think bother you. You obey God tonight. If you're newer to this whole business of salvation and living for God, then listen, I get it. I the most difficult thing for me to change after I got saved was the music I listened to. It was such a part of me. And if anybody is honest, they'll tell you music is a vital part of their life. And that's why it is so necessary for it to be right.